Today, my dear faithful, is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death. For we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ. Knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way, for some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke, and gave it to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them, and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat, and were filled. And they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude. For behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in the 4th century, there was a small city called Nisibis, which would be in present-day Syria. Nisibis was a thoroughly Catholic city, led by its bishop, St. James of Nisibis. In St. James' time, though, the city of Nisibis lay between the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. These two mighty powers battled over that same city numerous times. It is important to know, though, that in the 4th century, the Roman Empire was growing increasingly Catholic, while the Persians, on the other hand, persecuted Catholics and forced them to join the pagan state religion. Because of this, St. James encourages people to defend their city against the Persians to save themselves from that persecution. In fact, the bishop convinced them to prepare for war. The people dug wells, they built up supplies of food, and they refortified the city walls. And thank God they did, because the king of Persia, Sapor II, arrived in the year 350 with his entire Persian army to finally crush Nisibis. Sapor's enormous army covered the valley surrounding the city. They cut off the city's river, and any hope of supplies coming in, because they planned to starve out the defenders. For 3 months, the Persians mercilessly besieged Nisibis, and after some incredible battles that I wish we had time to describe, Sabor's army finally managed to make an opening in the city's walls. The Persians could not attack immediately, though, and this gave them an opening for the Sabor's army to enter. All King Sabor needed was to wait for the morning light to finally crush Nisibis and slaughter its people. And so that night, St. James, the bishop, ascended what remained of his city's walls. He looked on the breach in the walls, then he looked down upon his people, now half-starved and completely exhausted. For almost 3 months, they had been surviving on rations and fighting day and night. Many had died, and now there were so few to defend their city that St. James knew his people could not hold out under another attack. He knew that their situation was hopeless. And so the bishop looked to the heavens and prayed for help for his people. He begged God for deliverance from the Persians. And the next day, deliverance came. God sent an army to defend Nisibis, an army that Sapor, even with his entire Persian cavalry and all his soldiers, could not withstand. Millions upon millions of gnats descended upon Sapor's army. These little bugs attacked eyes, nose, and ears of both man and beast of the Persians. The Persians were thus driven insane by this unforeseen onslaught. They fled from the city, blind, deaf, and suffocating from these little bugs. In their frantic retreat, the Persians even crushed one another as they fled. Thus, my dear faithful, after a three-month siege that looked utterly hopeless, the Persians were themselves utterly defeated, and the Catholic city of Nisibis was delivered once again. Now, you may wonder why I speak about this story, the battle for Nisibis, when it is the 4th of July, the birthday of our beloved nation. The truth is that, firstly, I just love that story. Doesn't everyone love an underdog story? A David against a Goliath. The small bringing the mighty down low. Not only was it a small city defeating a vast army, but it was gnats that God decided to send. Another reason, though, that I tell this story today is that, like the people of Nisibis, we as Catholics find ourselves besieged, so to speak. We are surrounded by a world turned against God and His laws. So much that is evil is an everyday occurrence. Divorce, abortion, impurity, unnatural vice. Our nation is choking on these sins and many more. And yet, like the people of Nisibis, despite a hopeless situation, we do have hope. Or at least, we should. All is in God's almighty hands. He allows evil only to bring a greater good out of it. The people of Nisibis suffered immensely during that three-month siege, but their miraculous victory was all the more splendid because of it. In fact, it would seem that it was exactly their sufferings that earned that triumph from God's almighty hands. Our Lord looked down upon them, saw their striving to defend their homeland, to fight for their faith, to remain loyal to Him. And our loving God was filled with compassion. He cannot help but be moved, because that is all that He seeks. The Sacred Heart hunts for souls that love Him, and the natural consequence of true love is that they sacrifice themselves for Him. Just as the Sacred Heart, in loving souls, has sacrificed Himself for us. Today's gospel shows this lesson as well. The people spent 3 days listening to our Savior. They hungered to be with Him, so much so that they forgot their hunger for food, and thus they ran out. Our Lord knew all this. He saw their sacrifice. He knew their hearts. And His own most sacred heart was moved. I have compassion on the multitude, the Sacred Heart said. For behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Our Lord now waits for souls to love Him, to sacrifice themselves for Him. His most sacred heart is so wounded at the sight of sin, including the sins of our own beloved America. If you long for reform, my dear faithful, as the Sacred Heart does, for the sin to stop, for our nation to be brought back to the love of God, sacrifice yourself. Complaining about it, decrying the evils of today, what good does that usually do? But laying up merit before God, asking His help, there is nothing that a truly loving soul cannot accomplish, because there is nothing that God cannot accomplish. And God, in His infinite mercy, will surpass your expectations. It is true, He may even surprise you with the means He uses, as I'm sure the people of Nisibis were surprised. Who would imagine gnats delivering their city? And so, my dear faithful, I encourage you to take up the practice of sacrifice, to deny yourself in something every day. Make these sacrifices and offer them as reparation to the Sacred Heart for yourselves, for your families, and for our nation. Prove your love for our Savior. Make a return for all He has done for you. And earn the grace our nation needs to be converted. Because if we do not, then who will? You and I have been given the grace of being Catholic. So let us live our Catholic faith then, and win graces for the conversion of souls. Whenever you are tempted to become discouraged, sorrowful, or even upset by the circumstances of today, turn to our Divine Savior. Ask Him by your prayers, and then offer up your sufferings in union with His sufferings on the cross. Say, "My Jesus, mercy," or "Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, protect and save our country." If we do these things, my dear faithful, if we truly live our Catholic faith, Offer the sacrifice of our daily crosses and sufferings for the good of our nation. We will truly call down God's mercy and blessing upon America. We will do our part to stem the tide of sin. And please God, we will behold the triumph of the Sacred Heart. And then we will stand back and simply marvel at His mercy to us. May God bless you, and may God bless America. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.